We are going to, in a little bit, have an induction of members into the church, and I want to speak about the church tonight. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 3:16, and I'm not even going to have you stand tonight because I'm just going to begin to teach on one of these. Amen. I've got to pull this sermon out because I asked for Brother Aaron to bring this church tonight, and he forgot, so he went back home and got it. And that's an expensive brick if you figure the gasoline. Man. Nobody fall asleep tonight. I know about bricks. We built our church, and I was a young teenager at the time, and we went and tore down schools and other old buildings and took loads of brick back to where we were building the church. And a man in the church, he said, several of his young boys, he said, "I'll give you a penny for every brick you clean, but every other penny goes to the church." Well, he didn't think we'd do that. We got out there, we cleaned thousands of bricks. And if you ever wonder what happened to me, when we were getting those bricks, we had a big old truck there, and a pile of tore up bricks, and we was throwing them in the truck, and I stand next to my dad, and he wasn't watching, and he threw a brick, hit me right upside the head, knocked me out. So I know about bricks. And that also explains some things too, doesn't it, at the same time. And Dad, he listens to these sermons, so see, Dad, I haven't forgotten. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I want to save some time by saying that people erroneously apply this to our individual bodies, our physical bodies. That's later. That's 1 Corinthians 6 when it says, "You are a temple. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit." What Paul says here, he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" What I want you to notice, even before we entitle this tonight, that word "ye" is Old English. You school teachers would emphasize this. The "she" is Old English for second person plural. We'd say y'all down south, but let's put it this way. You all. Not just one you, but you all. So what Paul literally said, he said, "Don't you all know that you all are the temple of God?" Ye is plural. Temple is singular. So all of you together make up the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Not the individual believer here. That's later. That's chapter 6. But you all make up the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of the Lord dwells in the temple that you all make up. We're talking about the church. And I want to entitle this tonight, "Together, the Temple." Together, we are the temple that the Spirit indwells. How many felt the Spirit indwelling the temple tonight? That happened because we came together. Now, I want you to notice these expressions tonight. We go to church. We have church. But I'm going to tell you the most important thing is we are the church. We are, let me put it even a little more succinctly, we are His church, His temple, His building, His habitation, His body, His bride. Together, the temple. I don't know if you're aware of it tonight, but there is a lot of church bashing going on. A whole lot of it. And I always hate to hear when people speak disparagingly of the church. And you know what I have found when people bash the church? It's usually disgruntled church folks, backsliders, or people that have no idea what they're talking about. But it's usually not the out-and-out unbeliever that bashes the church. It's somebody that has a history in the church. Let me tell you why I don't like people to bash the church. First of all, the church was God's idea, God's design, God's project, if you please. I don't like to hear people speak disparagingly of the church because, you see, you've got to understand something. Jesus died so there could be a church. We sang it tonight. Jesus purchased the church with His own blood. I don't like to hear people speak evil of the church because I want to tell you the truth. The church as an institution has done more for people than any other institution. I know the cry today is for the government to do something, but it's the church that's helped people the most where they needed help the most. I don't like to hear people speak evil of the church because the church is part of God's plan for the end time and throughout eternity. How many knows God's got plans for the church? To use the church. The church is His beacon. The church is His hand extended. The church is His life. The church is what He uses to advance His kingdom and to build a soul-saving church or a soul-saving station on earth. And I'll tell you one more thing. I don't like people to speak evil of the church because it's the church that's going to heaven. And you can speak disparagingly of the church, but whether I make it to heaven or not, a lot depends on my involvement in the church. The church is going to help me get there. I don't think it's time to bash the church. I think it's time to lift our hearts and say, thank God for your wonderful plan. It's the greatest type of gathering that there is. The greatest type of thing to be a part of is to be a part of the church of the living God. Amen. You see, in this bashing of the church, there's this super spirituality. If you'll listen to me just a moment, we'll bring this down to the point, but there's a super spirituality that rejects the church. You'll hear it from so-called people who used to be pastors and so-called spiritual leaders, and they'll say this. They'll say, listen, you can be extremely spiritual and never go to church. You can be a spiritual person and not be a part of the church. Now, you'll find I'm not talking about an earthly organization. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. And I understand something. If you can't get to church, if you can't be a part of a church, God knows that. God understands. I mean, if you are marooned on a desert island and it's just you and the monkeys and the coconuts, God knows that. God understands. But I want to tell you this thing about that you could be spiritual without the church. It misses the very message of this book right here. There's too many people that think they can do this on their own, and they're going to find out they were strongly mistaken. If you don't get anything else tonight, just get this. You need the church. I like what one person said. I read it years ago. He said, being a Christian is like being married. You can't do it on your own. Oh, I like deep stuff. That's deep. How many knows you can't be married on your own? It takes somebody else. And being a Christian is to be a part of this church of the living God. Now, we don't do this in our church. I just get uncomfortable with it. It's just too much like the world, but the big thing in the church now is every once in a while say amen, reach over and high five your neighbor. Oh, you like that? Okay, Sunday morning, reach over and high five your neighbor. I want you to try something. Let's just try this. I'm going to alter that a little bit. I want you to high five yourself right now. You missed my point. That's not the same. That's not the same participation. That's not the same excitement. It's not the same expression than to high-five your neighbor. We don't ever do that. Could you do that? Won't you high-five? If you're glad you're part of the church, high-five your neighbor. Some of you are low-fiving. Okay, let me try again. Shake hands with yourself. Boy, that's fellowship. I appreciate you, brother. I love you, brother. That's how some people are trying to do it. You know, I understand the germ thing. Now, I'm speaking analogously. I'm not on a pet peeve here, okay? I understand the germ thing. I'm somewhat of a germaphobe, a practicing germaphobe. Well, my wife's high-fiving, you know. I understand the germ thing. But are we going to get to the place that we can't even shake hands in church? I mean, we ought to just be thankful we don't belong to a culture where they rub noses in greeting. I'd a lot rather shake hands, wouldn't you? Yeah, again, I understand that, but what I tell you, I'm speaking an analogy tonight. You see, that might be the first physical demonstration. I don't want to shake anybody's hand. And you know, I'm not against that little fist thing, except some people miss. But in the analogy here, do we get to the place that we're not wanting to really be involved in our brothers and sisters' needs and problems and difficulties? Do we really not want to be a part of being involved in their Christian life and walk? Amen. Is it going to get to the place, amen, that we just are afraid of people's problems and afraid of people's trouble? How many knows a big part of being a Christian is involved in that word other? Pray one for another. Confess your faults one to another. Bear one another's burdens. Over and over, you can look them up. It's what we do with one another. It's just not the same, by the way, when we do it on our own. How many's ever been in a crowd and started singing the Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem, and stood? How many's ever been in a crowd and in that atmosphere of singing, you just felt goosebumps? But how many ever once in a while, just at home, just in your bedroom, start singing the Star Spangled Banner and just feel so good? Do you do that? Oh, you probably wouldn't admit it, but I mean, how many's ever stood there, maybe when the military's marching by or whatever, and put your hand over your heart and pledge allegiance to the flag and just felt just this powerful sense of belonging and gratefulness? How many's ever done that? How many at home by yourself have a little flag tacked to the wall and every morning you pledge allegiance because you just like the way it? There's a lot of things that are so much better when we do them together. And I'm telling you, God recognized something about our humanity. There's something special about when we do it together, when we pray together, when we worship together, when we serve God together. Amen. And He knows something else. He has built this that so when we come together as believers, something happens special. Something happens when we come together to worship God and exalt Christ and bind our hearts to something wonderful happens. So together, we are the temple. I'm going to leave some quick things with you. Number one, no one brick is the building. That is a heavy brick. No one brick is a building. It's going to be deep tonight. Look what he says. Know you not that you all, many bricks, are one temple, one building. No building has ever been made out of just one piece of material. Unless they carve something, but I'm talking about a construction. No building has ever been made out of one piece of material. Now, you see, by itself, this brick can be used for some things. You can use it as a door stop. You can hold a door open. You can chalk a tire. I had to practice that because we chalk the tar, you know. But anyway, you can chalk a tire. You can stub your toe on it. You can hold down papers on your desk with it. But you cannot build a building with one brick. It's not possible. You can't do it. And by yourself, you cannot be and do what God has called the church to be and to do. I'm not saying that all on your own as a singular believer you can't do anything. But I'm saying as a singular believer, you cannot do what the church can do together. And God has a plan for that church. Amen. And besides that, by yourself, you can never be and do what God wants the church to be and do. but the church can't even do and be all God has it to be if you're not willing to be a part of that. His plan includes each individual, bringing them together. Amen. Hallelujah. We are, you've heard me say it many times, we are together what we could never be apart. Have you thought of all that went into the services today? Sunday school teachers that studied, people that cleaned, repairs that were made. Somebody was repairing toilets this week. That's a great ministry. Amen. Several of you haven't, and I'm thankful for that. All the things that went into this, the preaching, the study for that, all the things that were done, the paying of bills, the writing of checks. Even you see, we are together. What we could never, the driving the bus, we could go on and on. We are together. What we could never be apart. And God knows that. No one brick can be the church and fulfill the plan that God has. God has a plan to reach this world. We don't do it by ourselves. We do it when we come together. God has a plan to send an awakening. We don't have it just by ourselves. We have it when we come together. I as an individual brick, I can't be the building. But as an individual brick, I pray, oh God, make me a part of that building. Make me a part of that temple. Make me a part of your plan. Hallelujah. And just to speak practically, knowing that it's not one brick that's the building, I want to tell you tonight, if one person hurts you, that's not the church hurting you. People have done that. I'm quitting church. I'm leaving. I'm through. Why? Because somebody hurt me. Just because one brickhead, just because one brick hurts you, that doesn't mean the church hurts you. That's not the whole temple. Just because somebody says the wrong thing off the wall to you, that's not the church. That's one brick. Just because one person believes something that's crazy and shares it in a testimony, that's not the church. That's one. Even the church is something bigger and beyond and greater than that. It's God's great design. Hallelujah. I'm just glad this isn't the temple, but it can be a part of it. And then I want to move on. I've stressed it. No one brick is the building. But the building is the building because of each brick. Brother Rose, when they built that wall behind me, they laid it one brick at a time. Each brick had its place. You could not have that wall out there without the individual bricks that make up the wall. Look at our text again. Know you not that you all are the temple? But Peter expounds on that in his epistle. He said, you all as lively stones. Oh, I could get sidetracked here. Lively stones? A stone that's alive? I don't know about you. I've never seen a brick very animated. Unless somebody was animating it. How many of those stones are about the deadest thing you can get? I know I've preached to a few. I mean, they just don't move. But look, it seems like it's a contradiction. Amen. This is just a rabbit trail. Bear with me. But Peter said, you're a stone. But you're a stone that's alive. That's the way it is in the temple of God. We're not talking about being inanimated and dead. We're talking about God has put life in us. And when you take the life in this one and the life in that one and the life in this one and bring all that life together, you are a temple with the life of God in it. Building is a building. And he says, you're lively stones. You're built a spiritual house. I want to pause to explain something that's kind of hard to get our minds wrapped around, but it's important. The church is both visible and invisible. You see, you look around tonight and you see the visible church. But the invisible church spans the globe. Some of them have already had their church today because it's a different time zone. The invisible church is people throughout this world that have been born again. Their lives have been changed. Even you may see them on the street corner. You may see them in the grocery store. They may live at the North Pole, and they may be of a different ethnicity. They may be in Australia. But if they have been born again, all of those folks together, millions of them, together, they make up the church of the living God. It's invisible. visible because they're just part of the masses of humanity. But we are the visible church. You look around, you are seeing people who are a part of the church of God. Now here's the trouble. When you look at the visible church, you're not for sure. Now I don't want you to doubt anyone. You're not for sure that the person next to you is truly saved. They may not be. And there may be a backslider there. There may be a sinner. In the visible church, you don't know exactly who is a member of that invisible church. And so I want to get it clear. The church is bigger than between these four walls. It spans the globe. It even involves those who are in heaven tonight. That's the church. But the point we must make is from New Testament on, though the church is invisible and universal, the church is expressed locally. Locally, God's church comes into manifestation. Locally, Christ's church is expressed. That's why Paul says to the church at Corinth. The church is more than those at Corinth, but it's expressed locally at Corinth and Laodicea, and on we could name the churches. Philippi, that's where the church is expressed. Let me try to give you an illustration tonight I haven't used before. But we live in a military town, in other military towns. When you're out and around in town, there are military people everywhere. But unless they've got their uniform on, you don't realize they're military. They may be in the grocery store. They may be pumping gas. They may be at Walmart. They may be your neighbor. But they're just there as a part of society and a part of humanity. Even, but what makes them truly military is there are times that they come together in their unit. They have all been trained for a specific job. They all have a specific task. They have their uniforms on. They come together within a unit, whatever you want to call it, a platoon and on up. They come together in their squad, their company, and it's when they come together in that unit that they become visibly expressed. You don't see them out there everywhere, but you recognize them. You know them when they're in their unit and they're marching and they're performing. I'm telling you, this church is invisible and universal, but when we come together at 1101 North Union Road, this is the visible expression of the church of the living God. And when we come together, we become something we're not when we're scattered out through the humanity of our life. God knew what He's doing. Hallelujah. And He uses us as His tool. Hallelujah. I want you to think, it takes each brick to build this building. But what if just one brick felt unneeded? Now, I know there's plaster on this side, but what if all of a sudden one brick on this wall over here said, that church don't need me, and just popped itself out? You know what happened? It freaked some of you out, I'm sure, but you know what would happen? There'd be a hole in the wall. And a while back, before we got things fixed, it might have been the very brick that was holding up the whole ceiling when the pillars were rotted. Don't need me, popped itself out. I mean, if very many bricks started feeling that way, that looked like a sponge over there. It weakened the wall. You see, as an individual brick, you cannot begin to feel like, because you're just one, you're not needed. That wall would not, how many would agree, that wall would not be complete if just one brick was missing? How many would notice it when you pulled into the church up the drive? If just one brick was missing, how many would notice that it was gone? I'm sure that's the way it is in the church of God. Just one brick being missing, it has an effect on all of us. I thank God we're able to stream our services. Amen? I really am. That's a great blessing. That's a great outreach. People listen. I got a call from a pastor out in California. He said, you know, he said, I listened, because it's 3 hours different. I listened to your services and all this and been blessed. And others said that across this. That's a great blessing. But a while back, I was saying something, making announcements, and somebody said something. And I don't remember the situation. I just remember what popped off my head, and I said it. And I don't know if it fit, but I just remember what I said. And I said, listen, that stream's not a two-way stream. And you can sit at home and hear the message in the service over the stream, but you cannot stream in your amen. You cannot stream in your smile. You cannot stream in your high five. It's not a two-way stream. You see, we need every brick. I'm not insulting its analogy. We need every brick in its place. It's the bricks together that makes the church. Now, with that being said, if you are a believer, you cannot criticize the church without criticizing yourself. I've heard someone say, "This church is so unfriendly." Congratulations. You know what you just said? You've just said, "I'm so unfriendly." Isn't that right? If we're all part of the church, why aren't you the friendly one? If you think the church is... You can't criticize the church without... I've got to hurry. We've got to get these things done. Amen. I've had some people come to me. You know, this is a rare thing. Happens every several light years. But, you know, I've had people come to me with complaints. And here, their language changes. All of a sudden, it's those people and that church. Have you ever noticed when people get disgruntled, they'll start saying that? And I correct them. I said, don't say those people, say we people. And don't say that church, say our church. You can't criticize it without criticizing yourself. Oh, for the unity. Each is connected to others in its place, doing its thing. And then the Spirit of the Lord is at work in and through. And then I want to move on. The building serves a purpose. 3:16. Ye are the temple of God. Let me read how Paul says it in another place. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are build it together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I've heard Brother Leitner quote that scripture a lot. Amen. Talking about the church. There's just a ring to it. We are the habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, you can go out in wildlife. This is the habitat of this bird, and this is the habitat of the rabbit, and this is the habitat of the coyote. Amen. But when we all come together, this is the habitat of God. This is where God dwells. Amen. God inhabits. He lives within us and within our worship and within our praise. You see, the building serves a purpose. Even any natural building is built to house people. In the Old Testament, in the wilderness, they built the tabernacle so God could dwell in the innermost room, the holiest of holies. They built Solomon's temple for the same reason, so God could dwell in their midst in that temple. But I want to tell you something else. God created each individual, and God designed the church so He could dwell within and among His people. And the church is the place where God dwells in a special way. When we believers come together, we are the house of God. We are the temple of God. Jesus said in Matthew 18, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." Hallelujah. That's not a justification for a small crowd. What that's saying is you can just get two people together, and if their purpose is to be the church, if their purpose is to pray in the name of Jesus and to worship Jesus, they have become a temple. They have become a building that God can reside in. Hallelujah. I want to be that habitation. The sinner, the unbeliever, the backslider, the cold in heart, they walk through the doors and the Spirit of the Lord is here. I've got to make some corrections. I know it. I'll say it. You'll say it. I understand it. But even tonight, someone called this the house of God. But I want to correct. This physical structure of wood and brick and block is not the house of God. The people who have gathered here tonight, they are the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. We're talking eternal things. We're talking the plan and the design of God. When you come to My house, you expect Me to be there. You come to see Me. And when we come together in this building, we become the house of God. And God should be expected to be in our midst. This building really isn't the house of God. It's the house of the people who are the house of God. I'm glad for this place, aren't you? When we gather, this is a place.
place where God can be exalted. This is a place where brothers and sisters can be edified. This is a place from which we go from our gathering to evangelize and reach the lost. With all that being said, this is the place of His presence. This is the place where He's glorified. This is a place where lives are changed simply because everyone may be one brick, but they've come together to be the building where the presence of the Lord resides. You see, when we realize this, we realize the purpose of the church isn't about me, my being entertained, having my song sung, being blessed, my being ministered to. All of a sudden, when I realize this, that together we're the temple, it isn't about what God can do for me and to me. It's what God can do through me and with me. All of a sudden, it isn't about what can the church do for me. It's what can I do for the church. I'll tell you, if you get a concept of the true church of God, it teaches us not to be selfish. We don't talk and distract those that need to hear the Word of God. We don't leave and go home when a sinner's just come to the altar and their life is messed up and in shambles and they need help. We don't turn around and go, we come to the altar because it's not a selfish reason for being here. It's that when we come together, God indwells us and lives are changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, I got to go on, but this brick may be 30 years old, but there could be a brick that just came out of the kiln, and it could go right in the wall with the others. It don't matter the age. You can be a brick in the house of God. Let's move on to the last thing. This building of God is where things happen. Know you not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? It seems redundant. Temple of God, God's temple, where God's at, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But, there's something about buildings. Buildings is where activity takes place. You build a restaurant so people can eat. Amen. You build a gym so people can exercise. You build a store so people can shop and buy. And the temple is the building where the Spirit is at work. This is not a theological definition, but I love it anyway. Years ago, I read one person's definition of the Spirit. He said, the Spirit is God at work. And it is, because the Holy Spirit is He who executes within the church the will and the plan and the designs of God. But I begin to think about that. We are the temple where the Spirit of God dwells. You know, this is in Corinthians. What do we read about in Corinthians? We read about the gifts of the Spirit in operation. We read about conviction. We read about how saints, through the Spirit and His moving, they're encouraged, they're comforted, they're exhorted, they're admonished. We read that even the unbeliever comes in, and because of the moving of the Spirit, he falls down and says, of a surety, God is in this place. I'm telling you, we want to come together, all of we bricks, come together in a temple, because yes, it's God's presence, but it's not just a habitation and doing nothing. It's His Spirit, and where His Spirit is, something's happening. A work's being done. A life's being changed. A heart's being helped. Amen. Hope is being given. Hallelujah. I'm just glad to have a place where the Spirit moves. It happens as we come together. When we come together, we're the body. We're the building. Amen. A body's another analogy. But when we come together as different parts, an eye, an ear, a hand, a finger. Amen. When we come together that way, we become His eyes, His hands, His mouth, His ears. And as Jesus in His earthly body was filled with the Holy Spirit, when we come together as a body, He will fill that body, the church, with the Holy Spirit. And what did Jesus do when He was filled with the Spirit? Even Acts 10, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And He went about with that physical body doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. We come together, our individual abilities, our individual callings and ministry. We come together, we're not just a building, we're we're the body. And just like God filled that physical body of Christ on earth with the Spirit, He'll fill us. And as that body, we'll do what He did. We'll go about, we'll see people healed and delivered and set free and saved. We are the body of Christ together. He'll fill us with the life-changing Spirit. Would you come, music? Don't say I'm just an old brick. You're a part. You are a part of the temple of God. We need everybody. I probably labor myself too much over it. But just one person misses one service. And it bothers me. I'll tell you why. Not just because of what they've missed, because they may not realize it, but we need everyone to make this mind. You don't know the effect it has when someone looks down your pew and you're not there. You say, what do I do? That's like that brick out in the wall. Say, well, I do. I'm just here. No, you're a part of the temple that's indwelt by God. The Orthodox Church in Russia, they had a church in northeast Moscow, built 200 years ago. But after communism and all that was lifted, a lot of those old churches began to empty out for a while. And that church sat empty for 10 years. And the leadership of that Greek Orthodox, or the Orthodox Church, I shouldn't say Greek, the Orthodox Church there, was looking for a place to move a congregation because their churches had begun to grow. And they remembered this church in northeast Moscow. And they went to look at it because they said, we can reopen that church and it'll hold however many people, 300, 400 people. It'll hold those people. So they drove to northeast Moscow and got there. And the church was gone. Gone. It had not been bulldozed down. It had not been bombed. It had not been, none of that. They got to investigate what had happened. Is a businessman in a village outside of Moscow. He wanted a lot of bricks for his own project. He found a cheap way to get it. He told the villagers if they go get bricks out of that old church, he'd pay them one ruble apiece. That's about 4 cents apiece. And the word got out, and those villagers left that village. And at night after night, they go and they pry one at a time. No machinery. That would wake the authorities. But they would pry one at a time a brick out of that church. Until over a period of whatever time it was, a brick at a time, that church had disappeared. You know, there's an enemy. You may not value yourself, but he values you. You're so in that he wants to destroy it. And you know what he likes to do? He likes to pry loose a brick at a time and take it out of the church. That's not God's will. He doesn't want bricks to be pried out. He wants bricks to be put in to build the habitation. Don't let Him do it. Don't let Him do it, young people. You're a part of this church. Don't let Him pry you loose and take you away. Stay apart. Don't let discouragement, don't let depression, don't let disappointment, don't let the attack of Satan pry you out. Determine, I am going to be a part of this church. Let's lift our hands and thank Him for His wonderful plan. Would you do that? If you're a part of the blood-bought church we sing about, well, don't you just thank Him? I am a part. Hallelujah. 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 We are so blessed tonight on this occasion. We have several candidates, or I shouldn't call them candidates. And one of them, Sister Moore, Tina's mother, got really, really sick this afternoon and is unable to participate. And I want you to know, these folks, becoming a member of the church does not save you, does not make you part of His church. They became a part of His church the night they were born again. And they've already proved themselves as faithful attenders and helpers of the work of God. And I'm grateful for that. I want to tell you what I've noted about all of these that will be up here in just a moment. I've noted their hunger for God. Oh, that's such an encouragement. Faithfulness and hunger to God. Amen. And I certainly appreciate that. And so we have several that are going to come tonight, and each of these have already been a great blessing. They're a blessing to us. And I'm going to have them come and stand across the front. Just if you'd come, those of you who will be members tonight, give them an opportunity to testify if they want. And then we're going to pray over them as the pastors and the board, and we're going to pray over them, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to come by and shake their hand tonight. And our custom is to have altar calls. If you've got a special need, there's people. We'll pray with you. But right now, this is an important time. I appreciate these family, the burgers and the rices and all of these that have come. And just want them to know how much we appreciate them tonight. So if you'd like to testify.
As you probably know, I'm a man of very few words. I don't really say much at all. But I did want to thank all of you guys for everything you've done for us. We're very much proud to be able to join a church. And me, myself, I never wanted to join anything. And I just thank you guys for accepting us, and we look forward to growing in Christ with you all.
I just thank you guys. I feel very blessed to be a part of this church family and to be in the army of the Lord.
I just want to say thank you to everyone as well. I also feel very blessed to be able to call you guys my friends and family, and just really enjoy being here and so thankful to be part of this church and looking to grow with each and every one of you.
I was thinking back, it's hard to believe it's been a year since we've been here, and yet at other times it seems like I've known some of you, most of you, for years and years. And when we first came here, it was like as soon as I walked in this church, I knew this is where the Lord had placed me. I knew you all have the love of God in your hearts, and you have loved us. And I thank you for praying with me, for teaching me, for encouraging me, and for loving me. I love you all. I love my sisters here. You guys have been so wonderful to me. And I thank you, and I praise God. Thank you, God.
I was just talking to my dad the other day. And just how it's just been a little under a year, I think, since we first came here. And I won't lie, when I walked in, I wasn't like my mom. I didn't think this is the church for me. I can't lie. You know, I walked in, and as many, a lot of you know, I even said to a lot of people, everyone just seems so perfect. You know, I couldn't get over it. I wasn't saved, granted, you know, and Pastor Hirsch talked about something. I figured he'd probably have us testify, and I kind of thought I'd want to say something. And he preached on exactly what I wanted to say, and it's about all of you, it's about all of us. None of us know how important just one of us is. Brother Jim, your men's ministry, how many times you've talked to me, you know, as we're cooking food, or you gave a message, you know, about the men, taking the young men under their wing, and how many times, Brother Aaron Maggard, that you took me under your wing, and you prayed for me at the altar, I remember that. How many times, Brother Mark Lee, that you talked to me at Camp Dove, you took me to a ball game, you sat me down, and you helped me. I mean, I could literally go on and on and on about I think I've talked to every single one of you, you've all talked to me and helped. Every one of you, there is a purpose. When you guys come here, there is always a purpose for us to be here. I've learned that myself, times that I haven't wanted to step up and wanted to be here. Youth, every single one of you have been an encouragement to me. Every single one. And you don't know, you know, Sister Katie, if you didn't come to that Camp Dove meeting that night, if you hadn't sang for all of us, how big of a blessing that was. How many didn't come to pray with us? How many of you? It's incredible, and Pastor talked about, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, they can be spiritual without church. I talk to a lot of people that claim Christianity, you know, they say they know God, and they say, I don't need church, I don't need to come. You know, I can be spiritual at home, but I heard someone explain one time that being a follower of Christ is a lot like being a fan of Ohio State football team. You know all the players, and if you really love the team, if you really love Christ, you'd want to be here. And I thank God that all of you have been faithful attenders. All of you have faithfully helped us and encouraged us. I just want to encourage everyone to continue. I mean, there are new people here that have been here less than us, you know, and I encourage everyone to continue, please, and do what you did for us, and we'll do the same, and encourage everyone new, and thank you for showing the love of God for us. Thank you so much.
The first day I was here, like, I knew my life had to change, and it had to greatly, and ever since the first day I've been here, nothing but great things have happened in my life. And it has never been, and it's never felt better to praise the God that loves me so much. And I want to thank my two brothers for letting them have somebody I can have somebody to look up to me at. And everybody here just accepts me for who I am and what I am. And Brother Ryan is just a great friend. I've never had a friend like him. And my stepsister, Brittany, is amazing. She is a sister I've never had. And I just want to say thanks for having me at this church. I love you all.
I just want to thank the Lord for sending me to a church that when you walk in, you can feel the love. And you can feel God's Spirit. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to have a family that I can call my family. I love the Lord so much, and I'm just thankful that I found a church that I could feel a part of, and I'm thankful to be in God's family. Because like the pastor said, we all make the church of God. And I'm just thankful to be in God's family and to be among His people. And I'm just very thankful that He led me here.
I had made it clear through the line when I was making my comments. Sherry's another that just has such a hunger for the Lord. These were members of the church the time, the moment they got saved. And this tonight is just, they're visibly making a commitment that they're going to assume all of the responsibilities and that we can count on their faithfulness in being a part of this temple. I'm going to ask the board members and their wives to come first and come around these. And we're going to come ahead, Sister Hurst. We're going to lay hands on them and just pray God's blessing and God's wisdom and God's strength and God's protection upon them. Amen. Would you come ahead, board members and your wives, and amen. Just find one to pray with across here. Amen. 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 Church, would you stretch forth a hand this way? We are thankful for these. We want to give thanks to the Lord, but we want to pray God's blessing and help upon them. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you rescued these. You saved these. You called these out. Lord, you called them out. You made them a part of your body. You made them a part of your army. You made them a part of your church. Oh, hallelujah. Bless them and help them. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we give thanks to you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord. Oh, God, bless them. Bless them and help them. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. hallelujah. I got to thinking, I know it's not very good decor here or anything, but maybe we need to leave this brick up here for a while. Think about how important each one is. You may say, well, if I don't sing, it won't make any difference. If I'm not there, well, it will. As certainly as if there was a hole in that wall over there. I'm going to ask the board if you'll kind of back up over this way. We're going to make a line to come by them and let Sister Hurst and I get there. Church, would you stand tonight? And I'd like to invite everyone that will, if you can just come down this aisle right here. And let's just welcome them into the church. And this is a time of fellowship and love. And show your love one to another. Let's thank God for this wonderful plan of His called the church.
Let the weak say, I am strong. In this hour we face, and we will overcome together in this place. And now we accept.